Sketchbook Comics and Games presents Comic Book Store Adventures with J. Stu and K. Stu.
Hey everybody, it's J. Stu, and once again I am here at the mighty Sketchbook Comics with the mighty Jeff. How's it going, man?
Good.
And you were just showing me all the awesome artwork you brought back from Fan Expo.
Yeah, that's what we ended up spending most of the money on, was prints and stuff like that. So, well, hopefully, once we can find some frames the right size, they'll end up on the walls here at the store.
Cool. I can't wait for K-Stu to see Aquaman.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons I wanted it. That, and it's awesome.
It's very cool. Very cool.
It's super awesome.
Cool. So on my way over here, I saw a news story. Wesley Snipes says he's Blade again. Marvel says he's not.
Really? I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, Marvel has no plans for Blade at this time, I guess, although they got the rights back now.
Yeah.
What do you think? Should Wesley Snipes come back? Should they get a new Blade?
Honestly, if they're going to do Blade again, I would use Snipes. He was Blade. I loved him as Blade. I thought he did it well. So if you're going to do it again, yeah. Does there need to be more Blade? I don't think so.
Maybe not another movie. Maybe
put him in. Put him in Avengers. You know, Shield, Agents of Shield, or something. Bring him into the TV show. One Dude's career is taking a beating. So if he's, if he's not willing to do a little bit of TV guest starring to hopefully work towards a movie, then replace him.
One of the Netflix shows, even.
Yeah. Put him in one of the Netflix shows or whatever. Just Blade doesn't need a movie.
No, not really. I think they've said all they need to say about Blade.
Yeah, he's good right now.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't seen that, though.
I just read it about an hour ago, actually. He says he's already signed for a $3 million contract, and Marvel says no plans at all for Blade right now.
Yeah, somebody there is confused.
Maybe it's Wesley.
Might be Wesley.
Nice. Read last night that Ivan Reyes is off of Justice League.
He is.
Jason Fabok is taking over?
Fabok's taking over. Yeah, I saw that this morning, too.
Good news, bad news?
I like him.
Okay.
I like him. I think he strikes me as a faster Finch. You know,
oh, okay, good.
Not quite as detailed, which is probably Finch's downfall when it comes to speed.
Oh yeah,
but I'm 100% good with it. I'd like to see what Reyes is doing besides, you know, a couple of issues of Multiversity, but I dig him, so I want to see
him
something good.
Not familiar with his work, but I will take your word for it. You usually are a good judge of character.
Yeah, no, I like his art, so put him on it, and hopefully he can maintain the pace and all's good. But yeah, Finch is slow.
Yeah.
Does not bode well for Wonder Woman.
Oh, he's coming on board
he's
Wonder Woman?
He's the penciler for Wonder Woman, and he and his wife are writing it. So.
Okay. Because I know of at least two miniseries he's held up in the past.
Forever Evil.
Wasn't he Civil War as well?
No, that was McNiven, I think.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, David Finch, I didn't mean to accuse you.
He won't mind.
Cool.
He knows he's slow.
He is, yes. Finally read Multiversity. It was effed up, but I liked it.
Absolutely, it was. That beginning, I have no idea what happened at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, there's that character, and it's neat and all. No idea what's going on there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that pays off down the road. But, man, I loved all that stuff with the President Superman and Captain Carrot and, you know, just all the different heroes and stuff from the different worlds, the female Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like it was reminiscent of the original Crisis where they all met up in that one giant room.
Absolutely. I like the fact that they kind of did the throwback to Harbinger, where she's the computer program instead of the person bringing them all together. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it was
very
cool.
I really enjoyed it, and I loved the Captain Carrot version.
Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to see more
of
that
cartoon
guy.
Powers.
Yeah, oh, that was great. That was very cool. So next week, I guess, is the big first week of all the Futures End tie-ins?
It is. There's a bunch of them. I think there's like eight.
Oh, really?
There's a ridiculous amount of them next week.
Okay.
And I know Grayson's one of them. Like, just off the top of my head, Batwing's one of them.
I think Earth 2, maybe?
Earth 2 is definitely one of them. Detective might be one of them. Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
All right.
And, I mean, then there's the big boy that comes out next week. And that's Death of Wolverine 1.
Yeah, oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So how long before they bring him back?
I see 6 months to a year.
Okay.
They're going to try and do the whole he's gone. And, I mean, even November solicitation books are still the aftermath of Wolverine's death.
And
it's like, okay, yeah, DC did it, and they did it well with Requiem.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Batman and Robin story to this day continues on that. You know, the idea of a heartbroken father trying to find his son again.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do that with Wolverine.
Yeah, like, right.
How do you show the impact for very long? So Storm's heartbroken? All right. They really haven't been together that long, even with the new issue of Wolverine and the X-Men, where they're in, like, a pocket universe for, I don't know, a year or something like that together. Yeah, I just don't see how you can do, you know, Wolverine is missed for a great period of time and have anybody care for that long.
Yeah.
You know? It'll be 6 months to a year.
6 months, yeah. Marvel's not going to keep that character.
He's a cash cow. They're not going to keep him off the shelf for long.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So, seeing as how next month is the big Futures End crossover tie-in month, I thought I'd ask you this. Do you have a favorite, I guess, company-wide tie-in, Marvel or DC, past or present?
I liked Forever Evil a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
That one was done right, though.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Like a lot of people, I'm a huge fan of the original Age of Apocalypse. I love that. I have some very, very fond memories, although to be honest, I don't know that I ever read the whole thing of Inferno.
Oh, yeah,
because, you know, at the time I was a kid buying comics where I could get my hands on them, when I could get to the comic shop at the time, you know, I'd buy it, but, you know. And then, I mean, let's face it, crossovers didn't last nearly as long.
No.
So it's probably a much shorter story in my than I remember in my head, too. But, yeah, I have some fond memories of like, Inferno and, what was the other? Oh, the Mutant Massacre.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the Mutant Massacre was a big one for me, too. I read the original Crisis, but I didn't read it till much later.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's 20th anniversary or so.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite that far, but, yeah, so probably between 15 and 18 years after it came out.
Oh, wow. See, so, I'm old. I remember reading it brand new.
Yeah, so by the time that... I'm old, too. I didn't get it at the time.
Yeah. Secret Wars?
Secret Wars I read. And I have a lot of fond memories of Secret Wars. Not so much for Secret Wars 2.
No. Well, no
one does.
That was
terrible. One of my favorites that really isn't a big event crossover, but when I look back on it, I'm like, this is just a monster event. And it was just a limited series, though, and that was Cosmic Odyssey.
I remember that one, yeah.
Heroes and the New Gods. Oh, man, I could still read that. I could read it on a daily basis. It's so good.
Big ramifications.
Mike Mignola on art. And,
John Stewart. Yeah.
It was Jim Starlin when Jim Starlin knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Jim Starlin drew the latest issue of Forever People and made me want to cry. It's so bad.
Oh, really?
It's just terrible.
Oh, Jim Starlin.
If Jim Starlin's still on issue 4, I'm going to be incredibly disappointed.
Oh, that's not good.
That's a man that has lost his game. He and Claremont should start, like, a retirement home
somewhere. Oh.
And take Neil Adams with them.
Oh. Oh, man. Well, okay.
I love Neil Adams' art. I just don't like Neil Adams.
Oh, fair enough, fair enough.
I'm going to charge $20 on autograph.
And that's not good.
No. No. You've been reading your own hype when. Yeah.
Nice. So besides the Futures End crossovers and the death of Wolverine, what else can we look forward to this week? Is there anything else?
I was going to say, there's actually quite a bit coming out. I honestly don't remember the other stuff anymore because, I mean, DC's moving into Futures End mode for the month.
Yeah.
So their regular books won't exist.
Yeah.
Marvel is putting a lot on Wolverine. I think the death of Wolverine is their attempt to take September back.
Yeah.
Because
they may do it.
This is, what, 3 years now that DC has whipped them. And now suddenly they've got a 4-week weekly book. The death of Wolverine.
Yeah, that's big. So
he may be back in a month and a half because they'll be like, all right, we won September. Let's win November now by bringing Wolverine back. But,
oh, man.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming out. I remember Joel and I looking at the listing and just being like, wow, it's a monstrous week of just amazing stuff. And now I'm just drawing a blank because it's all Futures End.
Yeah, Futures End.
In my mind. And Wolverine was everywhere at Fan Expo. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wolverine was everywhere, and so was Dancing Groot.
Dancing Groot, yeah.
Everywhere. Artist Alley.
Oh, yeah. That's a big thing right now, man.
I have a feeling it's going to be something comic fans get sick of quick.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So I know we just saw you last week, but have you read anything else in that week? Or?
As much as I hated the art on it, I did read issue 3 of Forever People. It's such a fun book. It's got a very Kirby vibe from the fact that they're his characters, but they've been updated in a very cool way.
So good story, bad art.
Yeah, for issue 3, yep.
Okay.
It's tolerable, but it's not. You'd probably be shocked if I showed it to you and said, this is Jim Starlin.
Yeah, I think I would, actually, yeah.
It's something else. Future's End.
The big reveal?
Yeah, the big reveal, and two big reveals, really.
Okay, yeah.
In one issue. It's an important issue of Future's End, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm digging that series more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. Obviously Batman Eternal came out. I haven't been reading that one as much, just... We were running low on it in earlier issues, so I haven't kept up. So I'll read it when it comes out in trade. But that's Teen Titans.
Okay.
Teen Titans 2 has proven that they found this book again.
Okay, better than the last relaunch.
Oh god, the new 52 relaunch of it was terrible. This one has been great. The second issue stars Bunker. And they do such a great job with him. He's a very cool looking character. And he was neat in the first run, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a ton to him. Sure. He was, to me, he was kind of the token gay character on the team. Mm-hmm. They've made him so great. Like, they've brought out some of his potential in this new book so far. And they're only on issue 2.
Okay, good.
I mean, he's adapted his power a little bit. And, the bad guys are starting to dislike him because he's making a nuisance of himself by saving people. And, it's really good. So if you're a Teen Titans fan that has kind of fallen by the wayside like I had, it's worth checking out the new version.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I was a big fan, and I lasted till issue 5 or 6 of the last one.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
I don't even remember how far I got in. I just remember thinking, this is terrible. You can't even get Tim Drake right.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's easy, you know? But, this one's really good. They're trying to tie in a little bit of, like, the social networking aspect into it. And,
okay.
I get why. I mean, they're teens.
Definitely.
But I don't know that it'll necessarily play well, but it doesn't matter. The characters are being written well. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's good. I would definitely recommend checking that one out.
Okay, yeah, it might take you up. I might wait for the trade as well then.
Yeah, it's one that I'll be collecting in trade for sure.
Okay.
I actually like this one a lot.
Nice, and the artwork's decent.
Yeah, it's Kenneth Rocafort.
Oh, okay.
He's the artist on it. He looks fantastic, and the way he does Bunker's powers is very cool. And Tim Drake has some menace to him. He doesn't look quite as cartoony as he did in the new 52 run.
Good.
Yeah, it's just a good book that has a good feel to it.
Okay.
He-Man came out this week. I love that book.
Oh, I know you do.
Yeah, love it. Oh, and Avengers Undercover number 9 came out this week. That and He-Man were books I wouldn't even flip through when I got the new issues. And I was like, okay, I'm not opening these covers until I'm reading them. And they were both really good. Avengers Undercover is the second last issue.
Okay.
So it goes to 10, and they're kind of getting ready to cap that. So it was more build up to that than anything else, but it was still good.
Okay, yeah. Cool. We have those to look forward to then. And did you guys get a chance to see any of the artists or writers yesterday at Fan Expo?
A little bit. Joel was talking to Jeff Darrow. I talked to Jill Thompson a little bit. We saw Tony Moore. If you want a Walking Dead art print from him, you got to get it this year because he won't be selling them after that.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a sign saying this is his last year for Walking Dead prints, so I would guess that's part of his settlement.
Could be, yeah.
Is that he no longer has, you know, the Walking Dead's Tony Moore on his booth. And
oh, yeah. That's how he always advertised himself, too, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's a juggernaut of a thing, and he did, like, 6 or 8 issues of it, and that was it.
Yeah.
So, there weren't, being Thursday when we went, there weren't a lot of, like, the celebrities there. Like, Robert Englund was there. The guy whose name I don't remember, but he was the Spanish guy in Napoleon Dynamite was there.
Right.
A lot of the voice actors were there. Like, the anime voice actors, a lot of them were there.
Okay.
Michael Rooker was there. I didn't see him, but he was definitely there. But yeah, we, again, it was Thursday, so there were a lot of missing, like, artists and stuff like that from Artist Alley. But there were still some good ones there. Dan Parent from Archie Comics was there. I know Joel got a sketch of Big Barda in his New Gods book from him.
And oh, cool.
He was super cool. And as always, he remembered me from doing his panel at Niagara Falls.
Yeah, that guy was cool.
Yeah, he was really good. But, yeah, there was a few. We didn't stop and talk to too many of them.
Yeah.
It's Thursday night. We were trying to get through the whole thing and see everything.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Well, thanks, Ken, for taking the time with us. We'll tell you about our adventures next week when we talk to you.
Absolutely.
And thanks again, man. And everyone get down here to Sketchbook Comics. Buy some comics, some games, some shirts, anything. They got it here.
Yep, magic.
Magic. Pop vinyls.
That's right, pop vinyls, which are also everywhere.
Yeah. Well, they have a couple exclusives just for Toronto.
They did at the booth. Honestly, I didn't even check to see how much they were. I literally went through the booth and bought a bag really quick.
Probably crazy. Yeah.
I would guess probably $25 or so.
Oh, probably. They're debuting, I guess, Cap Without a Mask or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, Cap Without a Mask, I want to say was $20.
Okay, that's not too bad, I guess.
And that's the only one I remember looking at. But yes, I'd forgotten he was there. But I guess they've got two different Stan Lee ones.
Yeah, a friend of ours got the Stan Lee one.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I would guess probably 20 or so in that same ballpark. But yeah, don't quote me on those prices.
All right, don't quote Jeff. But come down to his store and help the guy out, buy some comics, talk to the guys. It's always fun. And we'll see you next time, man.
All right, take care.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek and comic book needs.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.